The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Italy, we have a woman, a young woman who's, I'm not allowed to say it because usually it's the end of your political career if you say it. She's a beautiful young woman. Now, if you use the word beautiful in the United States about a woman, that's the end of your political career, but I'll take my chances. Where is she? There she is. You don't mind being called beautiful, right? Because you are. Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it.
Prime Minister Meloni of Italy, who's a really a great leader and an inspiration over there. She's served now, even though she's a very young person, she's served there for a long period of time relative to others. They don't last very long. You've lasted a long time. You're going to be there a long time.
Mr. President, Prime Minister Meloni, Marie Chuan, a couple of months ago, I like her very much regarding Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. Will she be the one to mediate your relationship with Europe, do you think?
Well, I do like her very much. I think she's a great prime minister. I think she's doing a fantastic job in Italy. We're very proud of her. I knew her right from the beginning. I knew her as a very early prime minister, and I knew she had great talent. She's one of the real leaders of the world, and I'm very proud to be with her. It's an honor to have the prime minister of Italy with us, Prime Minister Meloni, who's doing a fantastic job. I would say that she has taken Europe by storm.
I'm proud of sitting here as Prime Minister of Italy. The goal for me is to make the West great again. I think we can do it together.
Okay.
Together we can build a just and lasting peace. We support your efforts, Tom.
She's become a friend, and we really have a great relationship between Italy and ourselves.
Another day, another world leader slammed and cast aside by US President Donald Trump. This time, it's the Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. She was considered Donald Trump's closest ally here in Europe. She was the only European leader to have attended his inauguration in Washington, D.C. last year. She's been a guest at Mar-a-Lago and she's been a vocal supporter during the Trump presidency. But she's denounced his decision to go to war with Iran, refused to let the US use an Italian military base for its combat operations. And she's also criticised Donald Trump's comments about Pope Leo XIV, where he described him as weak on crime and terrible on foreign policy.
It's interesting today that the Milan-based daily Corriere della Sera also published a short interview with President Trump on his comments on Ms. Meloni. And he said he was very shocked by her decision not to assist the US in the war against Iran. And he actually said, and I quote, "Do people like her? I can't believe it. I thought she had courage. I was wrong. It's very different from what I thought she was." So clearly a reaction also from Mr. Trump to her statements about him, particularly in reference to the Pope. She said the statements that Mr. Trump made, his criticisms of Pope Leo XIV, were unacceptable. He turned around and said she was unacceptable because it seems as if she doesn't mind Iran having a nuclear weapon that could hit a country like Italy itself. So clearly the tensions and the relationship, she was once considered the Trump whisperer. Now it seems that there are tensions in that relationship as well. But it's sort of a calculation because Italians are not happy with Trump, not happy with what Israel is doing, and she has to respond to that.
Do we still have the same relationship with Italy right now and Giorgia Meloni?
No. She's been negative. Anybody that turned us down for helping with this Iran situation, we do not have the same relationship. Just so you know, Italy gets a lot of oil from the Strait.
Of course, this is on most of the Italian front pages, but let's start with La Stampa. Here, the Liberal Daily talks about a painful divorce between Meloni and Trump. And this opinion here down the side says that Meloni's "you're fired" moments will boost her popularity. And it really seems to have been having that effect. Trump almost managing to pull off a miracle in Italy, getting all the Italian papers to pretty much agree. Let's have a look. On the right first of the Italian papers, this is Il Giornale here talking about Giorgia Meloni's Italy first approach, which it celebrates. And on the other side, on the very, very left of the Italian press, the communist Il Manifesto here, headlines with "She used to be MAGA, make America great again, of course, celebrating that Meloni is distancing herself from that movement. Now, La Repubblica talks about a unifying moment for Italy in support of what it calls, quotes, "a new Maginot line of defense against the unpredictable man occupying the White House."
I thought what that reporter said there was fascinating, that Donald Trump is uniting Italy. The newspapers in Italy can all agree that President Donald Trump is wrong and their prime minister is right. There are so many different angles to this story. I think it really encapsulates a lot of different Bible prophecies. You look at the Vatican inserting itself into the news here, putting itself right in the middle of the most controversial story in the world at the moment, and that's caused this rift that we'll get into a little bit here at the beginning. You've got President Trump, you know, really just best friends with Meloni, and now there's this divorce, this breakup. And I thought it was funny that Donald Trump said about, I mean, rarely do you hear him say this, he said, "I was wrong about her." And that also is something that sums up America's relationship with Europe. As I'll get to some of these quotes later on from Mr. Armstrong, where he says America doesn't understand Germany. America doesn't understand Europe. And we think they're our ally. President Trump thinks it's fine to give them nukes, to help them rearm. And if he's honest with himself, he'll have to say that a lot more. "I was wrong." Assuming that these are our friends, assuming, like we've covered on the show, that the AFD is the same as the MAGA movement in the United States, assuming that Meloni's party, and we'll talk about her party in a little bit, is the same as the MAGA movement. There should be a lot more admission, saying, "I was wrong." We'll see if President Trump continues along that line. But I just thought what was fascinating here was that this rift was caused because of the Pope inserting himself into this. And they're getting, the Vatican is getting a lot more involved, wants a lot more attention. And then you've got this division being caused between Trump and Italy because the Italian prime minister has to defend the Pope no matter what. Apparently, the Pope is allowed to do and say anything, I guess. But she, of course, has to be sensitive to all of the people that would not vote for her if she takes the wrong side of the Pope. But you look at just how much power and influence the Catholic Church has in Europe, to the point where, like that journalist said, I mean, she was talking about newspapers, it brings Europe together. It's all Europe has as a unifying force. And like we've covered, it's anti-Trump. That helps bring Europe together at the moment, and Catholicism. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily, by the way. I'm Sam Livingston. I will be your host for today's show. Any comments for the show, please send those td@thetrumpet.com. If you haven't subscribed to our Rumble channel, please do that. You can subscribe on YouTube as well. CNN says, how the war strained a key Trump relationship with Europe. Another point to make is just how this Iran war has been such a pivot point. The Russia-Ukraine war in 2022, a lot of things changed because of that. And now you've got this war with Iran that is causing a lot of lines to be drawn. It's a clarifying war in many ways. When the United States has all of these bases in Europe, and has pretty much protected Europe for the past 80 years, And now Europe says, well, you can't use these bases. We don't believe that that's a just war, even though Iran has been at war with Europe and the United States for 50 years. They act like this is an unprovoked war, just completely ignoring October 7, 2023. CNN says Maloney also has a unique role in a nation that has more than 40 million Roman Catholics and a special relationship with the Vatican. She therefore had no real political choice but to criticize Trump's attacks on the Pope. But her shift may have ruined more than a year of painful diplomacy and relationship building. She's got to defend the Pope. And if J.D. Vance and Trump are disagreeing with the Pope, well, now this person they thought was a great friend or ally is turning on them. And you can see Europe, they have their religious resurgence as well. And that revolves around the Catholic Church restoring to those roots. Like Mr. Fleurius said, like Bible prophecy says, this religious resurgence is the most dangerous of them all, that white horse. And in Europe, it means the resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. In the United States, there's a religious resurgence, but as with most things in America, nobody even knows what that means. It's very vague. We'll just say God's name a lot more and make sure you say Merry Christmas, and that's the religious resurgence. Telegraph says, Maloney-Trump love-in falls apart as a political affair comes to an end. You see Europe breaking with the United States. And that hostility, it's been there for decades. Mr. Armstrong wrote about it right when World War II ended. And the United States is naive about it. And of course you go in there and you've got to occupy and take over. And that's the way it should have remained. And then we thought, well, we could change them. Just remember that recent history. We were at war with Germany and Italy. The Telegraph, Donald Trump and Giorgia Meloni's relationship was rock solid until the Iran war got in the way. Previously, Ms. Meloni has had to defend herself from allegations she was too close to Mr. Trump, but his endorsement has become an increasingly poisoned chalice in Europe, and perhaps some distance between the pair could be fruitful for the under-fire prime minister. Ms. Meloni only has to look to her friend and ally, Viktor Orban, in Hungary to see what Mr. Trump's support can do. He sent J.D. Vance, the vice president, to Budapest to boost the long-serving prime minister's election campaign last week before he suffered a landslide defeat of historic proportions on Sunday. Europe does not like the United States. If you want to be popular in Europe, if you want to win elections, you defend the Catholic Church, you stand up for the Pope, and you disown the United States. This Trumpet magazine, it's incredible. I mean, we've been making this point for decades, the world uniting against the United States. There was the Trumpet magazine, I think it was in 2014, where it had the United States basically at its grave. And, well, what's the world like after the death of the superpower? There was the one where it's the dartboard. And the United States is right at the middle. Everybody's targeting the United States. We talked a little bit last week about how the AFD issued that order that they need to distance themselves from Trump if they want to win any of these elections. And in the United States, well, J.D. Vance and Trump, Elon Musk, they all love these parties. But there's a lot of history there that goes back to World War II. Here's another clip about this breakup. You could just play clip 12 and 13 together, guys.
Italy's relationship with the United States has been going on for some years, right? So it doesn't have to do with a single administration. We tried to do our best according to the context, considering that the United States is one of our strategic and most important allies. But when you have friends and when you have allies, especially when they are strategic ones, you must have the courage to speak when you disagree.
It's just very interesting how, I don't know, I mean, what to say, how quickly these everlasting friendships can erode and people become erstwhile antagonists.
But I wonder if Meloni, looking at what happened in Hungary, where Viktor Orban in power for 16 years, despite having the full-throated support of Donald Trump, on the phone during a rally on stage with J.D. Vance, who'd been sent out to stump for him, he lost the election. And maybe Meloni's looking at that and thinking, actually, that relationship doesn't carry the clout that it once did with a domestic electorate anymore. And actually, more than that, it may be a liability. And so hitting back at him could play far more better for her with the domestic audience in Italy than being cautious and tiptoeing and not wanting to upset the apple cart and the relationship.
You see the United States getting pushed out of the way. It's like this Iran war is the last thing that the United States will do, and then it's just, well, leave it to Europe to take care of it. This continent that's hostile to the United States at the moment, and America's response to it is, well, we'll help you rearm. You go ahead and build yourselves up into an empire. And I guess we'll just ignore how much you despise us. And you see, all of this is God is directing it, orchestrating it, allowing it to happen. And it gets back to America's sins. I'll go through Isaiah 10 as we've done on this show before. I'll go through some of the stories about America's immorality and just some of the recent scandals in politics. And God says that he sends Germany against a hypocritical nation. Watching Europe turn on the United States, watching Germany rearm, should wake Americans up, should indicate something is wrong. The Telegraph: Miss Meloni does not want to be the next politician to receive Mr. Trump's kiss of death. Neither does the AFD, which we've talked about before. Oh, they talk about Viktor Orban's defeat. Oh, I can just skip ahead here. I find President Trump's words, this is Meloni. She said, I find President Trump's words towards the Pope, she calls him the Holy Father. I find President Trump's words towards the Pope unacceptable. The Pope is the head of the Catholic Church, and it is right and normal for him to call for peace and to condemn every form of war, she said. And this is where the Pope, I mean, we could spend so many programs talking about the history of the Vatican as Mr. Fleury goes through in the church literature, talking about the Holy Roman Empire. But here Meloni says, well, he's right to do that. Not to come out and talk about Iran and how awful the terrorists are. Not to come out and talk about October 7 and how awful that was. Telegraph says, it was not quite the feared Dear John letter of so many breakups, but was edging closer to it. Ultimately, Mr. Trump ended it by turning on Miss Meloni the next day. Like I said at the start there, it's fascinating how much the Vatican is at the middle of all of this. The Vatican is what's causing this rift. Vatican opposition to Trump, even with an American pope, Vatican opposition of Trump is unifying Europe. It's amazing. Like Mr. Armstrong always said, that would be the glue that they unify around or that holds it together. And now you've got Donald Trump, who's just this incredible catalyst for like every Bible prophecy. And all of these things coming together. Here's one more clip from, I think this is from Meloni and a bit of a report on this breakup. Clip 15.
What I said is what I think. Those statements, particularly regarding the pontiff, were unacceptable. I expressed and continue to express my solidarity with Pope Leo. I tell you more, frankly, I would not feel at ease in a society where religious leaders do what political leaders tell them to do. Our alignment is with Europe and with the West. I follow that line and I completely support it. Then, when there are things we do not agree with, we act accordingly.
I would not feel at ease in a society where religious leaders do what political leaders tell them to do. It's this, there is this, that relationship is there. There's the woman riding the beast, as it's described there in Revelation 17. That quote-unquote holy and Holy Roman Empire, it's the directive. That's what unifies them. But even as you continue on in that prophecy and Revelation, they turn on each other. All of these entities, they just operate for what they can get at the moment. And then when it's not convenient, when that part loses its purpose, they turn on it in a minute. There's no loyalty there. There was no loyalty to the United States. It was, well, we'll take what we can get for as long as they're willing to provide it. And, oh, we can build this incredible welfare state. We can have free health care, and we can just insult the United States for not having that, even though they're spending however many billions to provide the defense that we don't have to spend. I'll get to that later on as well, because now they're having to reconcile, all right, well, the United States isn't going to be there to protect us. Now we have to spend more on defense. It means these very popular welfare programs are going to have to get downsized. It's not a popular position. You can see where this economic crisis is going to come into play. And it can all happen just so quickly. In Mr. Armstrong's autobiography, he talks about, and this was just days after World War II ended. He was at this conference in San Francisco when the United Nations was formed, and he was speaking to another group of people, subscribers or listeners to the World Tomorrow program. He told them, the war is over in Europe, or is it? We need to wake up and realize that right now is the most dangerous moment in United States national history. I mean, that quote should just really echo in our minds. It was 80 years ago, but look back at this moment. We need to wake up and realize that right now is the most dangerous moment in United States national history. Instead of assuming we now have peace, men plan here to preserve the peace of the world. What most do not know is that the Germans have their plans for winning the battle of the peace. Yes, I said the battle of the peace. That's a kind of battle we Americans don't know. We know only one kind of war. We have never lost a war. That is a military war. But we have never won a conference where leaders of other nations outfox us in the battle for the peace. He goes on, we don't understand German thoroughness. We don't understand. Mr. Trump said it there in that cold open. I was wrong. I was wrong about her. You could say he was wrong about that party in Italy that MAGA was so excited about. He should say I was wrong about the AFD. Mr. Fleury, in the November-December Trumpet magazine of 2022, had an article titled Fascism Reawakens in Italy. And this was about Meloni winning this election and how much her party, I mean, it's just that they're the direct descendants of Mussolini. Mr. Fleury says, Mussolini called his Italian empire the Holy Roman Empire. He saw that his alliance with Hitler had a long history. It tied back to an empire that has risen repeatedly in Europe. We have been forecasting for over 75 years that this same empire will rise once more. When it does, it will launch a war even more destructive than World War II. Mr. Fleury says, this empire took a major step forward in Italy's recent election, yet nobody is talking about it. The undisputed winner of Italy's September 25th election was Giorgia Meloni. Her party, the Brothers of Italy, won 26% of the vote, and will be the largest party in Italy's parliament. Meloni will be Italy's next prime minister, and she has a direct connection with Benito Mussolini. He goes on, there is clearly a growing appetite for Mussolini in Italy today. The dictator's great-grandson ran for office for the Brothers of Italy party, the party that Meloni is a part of. The party printed posters using his name. The AP wrote at the time, the strength of Mussolini's rhetoric, drawing heavily on the old glory of the Roman Empire, still has not lost political currency. Few see something to fear here, but Mussolini fashioned his empire after the Roman Empire. Nobody's afraid of that. Nobody's sounding the alarm except Mr. Gerald Fleury. And Mr. Armstrong would have been doing it too. Because you have to know this history and you have to know Bible prophecy. Mr. Fleury goes on, many on the political right welcome Meloni's success. She is an eloquent opponent of the homosexual movement that is doing so much damage to American families and society. She often extols the importance of family. She rightly points out the hardship caused by mass immigration in Italy. there are issues that truly, these are issues that truly resonate with conservatives in the United States. So, of course, those things are wrong. But as with everything that man does, the solution is an even bigger problem. And in this case, their solution is resurrect the Holy Roman Empire, return to those historical roots. Mr. Fleury says, unlike so many American politicians, Maloney is happy to bring God into her politics. Her slogan is God, homeland, and family. This sounds good, but her attitude toward religion matches exactly the spirit that the Bible warns us to watch for. So if President Trump was reading this in 2022, he would have known, stay away, they're not our allies. He at least said I was wrong about her, but he, again, doesn't know why, doesn't understand why. Mr. Fleury goes on, even in this, Maloney is following in Mussolini's footsteps. In 1929, Mussolini signed a treaty with the Vatican, making Catholicism the only state-recognized religion. He granted the Catholic Church many privileges in exchange for its support. And he goes on to just to talk about the history of the Catholic Church and Mussolini and this Brothers of Italy party. Go back and read that article that you see on the screen there. Mr. Fleury says, so Mussolini in that sense paved the way for Hitler, and they united and started World War II. The Brothers of Italy have similar policies. They talk a lot about Europe's Christian heritage and the importance of family. These points sound good, but we must put them in this historical context. Mussolini's alliance with the Catholic Church bore terrible fruits. Later on, he says, World War II was dominated by the Hitler-Mussolini axis, but then it disappeared from the scene. It was not yet. God says, it is. Though the Axis powers lost the war, they went into hiding underground, into what this prophecy describes as the bottomless pit. They remained, but out of common sight. But they will not remain there. God says they are going to ascend again. And he talks about how that victory of that party in Italy was a sign that they're emerging from the underground. They were never allies. The rise of Mussolini's movement matches, sorry, the rise of Maloney's movement matches exactly what the Bible foretold, Mr. Fleury writes. These prophecies warn that we need to be watching for the rise of this power. God wants as many people as possible to understand this prophecy. Yes, because it is dangerous and he wants to warn us, but also because it leads to the best news you could ever hear. There's this religious resurgence, and it's dangerous. It should be the number one story. It should be what is causing the most alarm. Of course, the Iran war is serious. Iran shouldn't be allowed to get nukes. The head of the snake needs to be taken out. But really, the big story, as the Iran war is all across the United States and around the world, should be this religious resurgence in Europe. Should be what Germany is doing behind the scenes. Another article here speaking about Germany, speaking about the United States being out of the way. The Wall Street Journal says, Europe drafts post-war plan to free up Hormuz without United States. I won't get into all of the details. It's basically France and the UK coming together and saying, well, once the war is over, we need to be this neutral power that can go in there and grant security for the Strait of Hormuz. Europe sees, I mean, this strait is critical to Europe and to Asia, not as much the United States. But I mean, that headline is so fascinating. Europe drafts post-war plan to free up Hormuz without United States. And in these prophecies, the United States, when the whirlwind comes against, the King of the North comes against the King of the South, the United States isn't there. And they're making their plans for a world without the United States. And they want to appear like this nice, neutral party. The Pope wants to say all that we're just against all war. It all sounds so nice. And then, like Bible prophecy says, they're actually invited in to Israel. They're invited into this area. The journal says the goal of the European plan is to give shipping companies confidence to use the strait after the fighting has ended, which officials say could be some time away. Now, It's fascinating that this article even points out that Britain doesn't have really the power to enforce this. France has a bit more, but then they say the European plan is likely to include Germany, which had until now been publicly reluctant to even contemplate any military involvement, according to a senior German official. Germany, which has faced high political and legal hurdles to take part in overseas military ventures since World War II, could spell out its commitment as early as Thursday, according to the official. Berlin's involvement means the mission could be more substantial than previously expected. Germany has more fiscal firepower than the UK and France, and some key military assets needed for this specific mission. We've put the map up there of that whirlwind prophecy and where Germany has stationed its troops and its bases. You see the United States absent. You see the Holy Roman Empire, the King of the North, invited in as a peacemaker. And it's funny to just look at these stories. You know how quickly they are to, you know, rally around fighting Russia, as they should. But then when it comes to confronting Iran, who launched a war of aggression, if you want to have that argument like they have to have, well, you can't attack them until they attack first, which is silly. But they did. And they have been attacking, and October 7th was the big one. But then America did this. They didn't need to do it. They're actually defending Iran. That's how strong the hatred is for the United States. Like Mr. Fleury said on the show, you'd think the one thing that could unite the world would be trying to destroy this radical regime that has said it wants to destroy the West. Notice this clip from an old Key of David titled The King of the South. This was Mr. Gerald Fleury back in 1993. And he's talking about how this King of the North enters in. This is clip 3.
As a result of this clash, something terrible is going to occur. Verse 41 says, he shall enter also into the glorious land or Jerusalem, and many countries shall be overthrown. The King of the North enters, this verse says, verse 41, enters into Jerusalem. The word enter indicates it's a peaceful entry. They are apparently invited in as a peacekeeping force. Then will probably come one of the greatest betrayals in history.
You just got to look at it all in its totality. Look at Psalm 83 and Daniel 11. You see all of these things just lining up. CNN, U.S. allies won't join Trump's war, but they can't escape the fallout. They're talking about just how much they've been impacted by the surging fuel prices. And they're not blaming Iran. They're blaming the United States. They won't help out, as this article will go on later. They hardly have the capacity to even help out, which is another angle that we'll cover in just a bit. But now it's like all of their problems, these problems that have been there for decades, they blame on the United States. It says leaders are reacting to war consequences they can't control, epitomized by an International Monetary Fund warning on Tuesday that the world is trending toward an adverse scenario of only 2.5% growth, down from 3.4% in 2025. Anyway, they won't support the United States in fighting a just war. And now their energy prices go up and they're upset at the United States. Not upset at Iran. They're upset at the United States. Not upset at the socialist policies that have caused a crisis of living problem for many of these European nations for decades. Not upset at any of that. It's this seething pot against the United States. And they'll take whatever pretext they can get to rearm, to fight against the United States, to fight against America. You see, this world is seething against President Trump. It's seething against the United States. The American Conservative had an article, media coverage of the war has one target, Trump. Everything is about how bad, and again, we've covered his faults, but at least this is a right war to do, to be involved in. And then you've got the media. I mean, it's just, it's mind-numbing to try to keep up with them and follow whatever random, you know, attack that they have. This is an unjust war. Trump has no business doing this. Trump's talking about a ceasefire now. Trump always chickens out. Okay, well, what do you want? You said he shouldn't be doing the war. Now he's trying to get out of the war, and now you're teasing him for being a chicken to get out of it. Again, Trump, there's a lot that Trump shouldn't be doing, including negotiating with terrorists. But then you look at just how many fronts he has to battle on with the United States media, with Europe. All of these things, you know, just coalescing. Only God can really just orchestrate all of this, you know, if it does work out one way or another. But you look at the division in the United States, you look at the hatred for the United States and not Iran. I mean, Iran, a lot of the world is looking like a good guy at this point. That's that Obama Antiochus spirit. I mean, he loved Iran because Iran hated the United States. Oh, United States sending another aircraft carrier to the Middle East. This is the George H.W. Bush is going there. That has 6,000 troops on it. That'll bring it up to 3 aircraft carriers in the region. They've got 50,000 troops. Of course, there's the blockade that we talked about. They're turning ships around from Iran. Iran has got, I think it's about, they say 2 weeks before it hits this crisis point where they can keep pumping oil, but they can only pump the oil for how big their storage reserves are. So in about 1 to 2 weeks, those tanks will be completely full. And if those are full, well, you can't be running the oil wells. So then that just causes, you know, a dead stop across the whole economy. And that's, again, the purpose of this blockade. But you see just how many people in the United States are upset at President Trump for trying to do this and how many U.S. troops he's putting in harm's way to do it. Again, enforcing that blockade is always risky. It doesn't take a whole lot for the United States to just chicken out, to get scared, and to just run off and say, all right, Europe, this is your problem now. CNN says, how the war strained a key... Oh, I think I was already quoting from that. This just talks about how Europe needs to basically rearm to fill the gap that is going to be left by the United States. When Trump complained that NATO allies didn't send ships to open the Strait of Hormuz, he hit a sore point. It was not just that allied leaders didn't have the political backing to do so. Non-US NATO powers probably don't have the capability anymore to pull off such a mission after years of defense cuts. So Europe has to turn it around. CNN says, when Trump mulls withdrawing from NATO, he is playing a significant card. Serious rearmaments in Europe could break governments because of the unpopular cuts in health and social programs they would entail. So this causes a crisis in Europe. It's not politically popular. And you can see, like Mr. Fleury said, is it a weak coalition that this strong man takes advantage of? This strong man who's going to be against the United States and comes in by flatteries and can win everybody over and has the will to basically lead Europe the way Donald Trump is leading the United States, but in, of course, a far more radical and dictatorial way. CNN says, so even as they turn on Trump for their own political preservation, his estranged European counterparts cannot risk a total break with the United States. I thought I would play another Key of David clip here. This is also from a program in 1993, a different program titled Germany and Prophecy, Part 3. But it's he goes back and he's talking about oil. He's talking about how important that piece or that component is for leverage. And you look at how it's really all that Iran has at this point as leverage. And he talks about how, well, this is going to impact Germany and Europe. This is clip 4.
The events in the Middle East are going to lead into seriously escalating problems. They are going to be the trigger for World War III. The Bible says so. The King of the North is almost in place for this global tragedy. The King of the South is virtually there as well, and they have the oil. They're just not fully aware, that is, the King of the South, is just not fully aware yet of how much power that oil gives them over Europe, which has virtually no oil. Now, if you don't have oil, then, of course, you can't run your industry and your military machine, and I think most anybody understands that. Germany knows that a lack of oil is their main weakness. They know they must have oil, and so they are waiting for an opportunity to get more control in the Middle East. They have planned this for years. Germany knows they'll be paralyzed without oil. The need for oil was the trigger that caused Japan to attack Pearl Harbor and start World War II in the Pacific. That same trigger, oil, is probably going to be the main reason for the clash between the King of the North and the King of the South in the end time. That's what Daniel 11 is talking about.
It's incredible to look at. Right now, the main flashpoint is over oil. Of course, there's control of that strait, but really you only need control of that strait because the only thing going through it is oil. There's lots of other straits around the world that, you know, they're not as important because there's not a lot passing through them. But this one is important because there's a lot of oil going through there. And Germany gets a lot of oil from this area of the world. I have the numbers right in front of me. I think Saudi Arabia is probably the biggest one. And you look at the Psalm 83 map and Saudi Arabia is there. Germany has a pretty big interest in what happens in this area of the world. Getting back to Europe, moving on from the United States, creating its own superpower, another article from the Wall Street Journal, Europe is accelerating a NATO fallback plan in case Trump pulls out. So there's all these plans in place for the United States to not be there. Just like Mr. Fleury said about those prophecies, why is Israel, why is the United States absent in these end time prophecies? Europe is accelerating a NATO fallback plan in case Trump pulls out. And I just wanted to point out just how often nuclear weapons come up in this article and how often Germany comes up in this article. Things that Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Fleury have been warning about for decades. Things that they were scoffed at for warning about are, I mean, it's every day there are articles like this. Articles that the Trumpet and the Plain Truth had written decades ago. A fallback plan to ensure Europe can defend itself using NATO's existing military structures if the U.S. departs is gaining traction after getting buy-in from Germany, a long-term opponent of a go-it-alone approach. They sound so nice. Well, we're going to be the last ones there. We really don't want this. You know, France and Italy and the U.K., they're the ones leading it, and we'll provide the financial support. And we're really, it's because we're being pressured into doing this. The officials working on the plans, which some officials are referring to as European NATO, are seeking to get more Europeans into the alliance's command and control roles and supplement U.S. military assets with their own. The challenge is enormous. NATO's entire structure is built around American leadership at almost every level. And this is, again, the way it should have been after World War II. It should have been a lot more overt, but like Lord Ismay said, the purpose of NATO is to keep the Americans in, the Russians out, and the Germans down. And that is, well, we won this war, and you've started two wars, so this is how we're going to make sure you don't do it again. But the United States is being very naive. And Europe, Germany especially, wants NATO gone because NATO holds them back. So now they want to form their own European NATO. The challenge is enormous. NATO's entire structure is built around American leadership at almost every level, from logistics and intelligence to the alliance's top military command. Europeans are now trying to shoulder more of those responsibilities, which Trump has long demanded. The alliance will be more European-led, its Secretary General Mark Rutte said recently. It says here, the decisive political accelerant for Europe has been the historic change in Berlin, which hosts U.S. nuclear weapons and has long avoided questioning America's role as a guarantor of European security. Germans and other Europeans feared that promoting European leadership inside NATO could offer the U.S. an excuse to reduce its role, an outcome many Europeans feared. No European member has sufficient stature inside NATO to replace the U.S. as military leader, in part because only the U.S. can provide the continent-wide nuclear umbrella that underpins the alliance's founding principle of mutual deterrence through strength. Well, okay, what's the solution? They need to arm for themselves. They need to become a military superpower. And it's what Mr. Armstrong was warning about as soon as World War II ended. He was warning about it before the end of World War II. A particularly difficult gap is in intelligence and nuclear deterrence. European officials say no amount of troop reshuffling can quickly replace the U.S. satellite, surveillance, and missile warning systems that form the backbone of NATO's credibility, leaving France and Britain under pressure to expand both their nuclear and strategic intelligence roles. Germany's shift opened the way to the most sensitive element of sovereign European defense, replacing the U.S. nuclear umbrella. Now, again, they do it under the guise of, well, Britain and France are going to have to shoulder this burden. But you see, Germany, it all hinges on the heart, the beating heart of Europe. Just like Mr. Armstrong said, Germany is that beating heart of Europe. Here's another clip from a sermon Mr. Armstrong gave in 1982, clip two.
Now, they have gotten together in an economic system. That's been going on now for a good many years, the EEC, or the European Economic Community. But that is only something that knocks down tariff barriers for the for international trade among the nations of Europe. But what they want is political union. What they want is one military force. What they want is one great world power.
That's what they want. The political union, the economic union, the military union. A great world power. And to maybe some of these journalists and authors, it might seem like, well, this is decades off into the future. But this can happen overnight. This is an article from SIPRI. They do this annual report on the defense industry. This one was just a couple days ago. Global arms flow jumped nearly 10% as European demand soars. Says France was the second largest supplier of major arms through 2021 to 2025, accounting for 10% of global exports. So you've got France, a component of the Holy Roman Empire, the second leading exporter of defense, well, I shouldn't even call them defense capabilities, of military equipment, hardware. It says Germany overtook China to become the fourth largest arms exporter in that same time period, with about 6% of global arms exports. And again, a lot of this was triggered by the war in Ukraine. It says arms exports by Italy increased by 157%, pushing it from the 10th largest exporter to the 6th in that same time span. It says European states received 33% of global arms imports, with the region's imports increasing by 210%. Between 2016 to 2020 and 2021 to 2025. This is where the world's eyes should be. Back on Europe, where World War I and World War II started. And the point I wanted to make from that was, well, they're exporting these weapons. They're the ones producing them. And a lot of times now what's happening, as this article brings out, is that, well, they're producing them and then their nation is either buying them back or they're selling them to other European nations. So all it takes is just, okay, we're going to start keeping the stuff that we manufacture. And it doesn't take long to become a military superpower. Again, it's not for lack of materials or capability. It's the lack of will, the lack of leadership. And Europe wants that strongman. They want that strong leader. I was thinking about just how quickly all of these things can happen. World War I, that ended in 1918. And then Hitler is in power, 1933. That's 15 years later. 15 years later, Germany is back and they're rearming. I mean, in today's timeline, that's 2011. That doesn't feel that far back. It can happen very quickly. And that was Germany was, you know, again, had just gotten out of, or World War I had just ended. So coming out of pretty much being decimated and rebuilding in 15 to 20 years. And now you've got Germany who has got 80 years of pretty much prosperity, of being rebuilt by the United States. It really won't take long for this power to rise on the scene. I didn't schedule my time exactly right. I wanted to get into this story about Eric Swalwell. The transition point, I was going to read Isaiah 10. Well, I'll read Isaiah 10, verses 5 through 6. O Assyria and the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath. The United States is this hypocritical nation, and God uses these physical armies to punish the United States, to punish Britain. You look at just the political scene in the United States, everybody talking about this religious revival, this moral resurrection, and then every day you just see the sins that come out, that rise up to the surface. This one, I think we have time to play this montage here. You guys can play 9, 8, and 7 together. Go ahead.
A lot has been said about me today through anonymous allegations. And I thought it was important that you see and hear from me directly. These allegations of sexual assault are flat false. They are absolutely false. They did not happen. They have never happened. And I will fight them with everything that I have. They also come on the eve of an election where I have been the frontrunner candidate for governor in California. I do not suggest to you in any way that I'm perfect or that I'm a saint. I have certainly made mistakes in judgment in my past. But those mistakes are between me and my wife. And to her, I apologize deeply for putting her in this position. I also apologize to you if in any way you have doubted your support for me. But I think you know who I am. For over 20 years, I have served the public as a city councilman, as a member of Congress, and as a prosecutor who went to court on behalf of victims, particularly on behalf of sexual assault victims. That's who I am and have always been.
You know, this isn't necessarily unexpected, but it is definitely a shock to the political world. You know, he was a leading candidate for California governor just a couple of days ago. But then this bombshell report came out in the San Francisco Chronicle with allegations that he sexually assaulted a woman while he was or she was one of his staffers. Then CNN came out with a separate report interviewing three additional women saying that there was some sexual impropriety that had gone on. It was really just a weekend of implosion for his campaign, where we had staffers quitting, and then we had the Democratic establishment telling Swalwell that he should drop out of the race for California governor. He then did that on Sunday evening, and then now today we see that he is going to be vacating his congressional seat. Well, we had calls for him to step down from his congressional seat as well. So, you know, this is really going to be a sending shockwaves throughout the political world, but not necessarily unexpected.
Eric Swalwell is resigning from Congress. He said this in a statement. I am deeply sorry to my family, staff, and constituents for mistakes in judgment I've made in my past. I will fight the serious false allegation made against me. However, I must take responsibility and ownership for the mistakes I did make. I am aware of efforts to bring an immediate expulsion vote against me and other members, expelling anyone in Congress without due process within days of an allegation being made is wrong, but it's also wrong for my constituents to have me distracted from my duties. Therefore, I plan to resign my seat in Congress. I will work with my staff in the coming days to ensure they are able, in my absence, to serve the needs of the good people of the 14th Congressional District.
Sorry to end on that, but it does just, there's no hope in man. I mean, Mr. Fleury might get into this story more tomorrow, but it's gross on every level. He's such a hypocrite, the things that he said against President Trump. And then these are very credible allegations that are pretty recent, not just of an affair, but of, well, I'm not going to get into it. It's gross. The other aspect of it is that these sins were known for a long time. That's the way the Democrat, well, that's the way the political machine operates. And to think that, well, Nancy Pelosi and all of these people would have known, hey, this girl was raped. Okay, keep her quiet. We're not going to act on that. Hold that allegation for 2, 3, 4 years. When it's convenient, we'll bring that story up to the surface and she'll have justice. I mean, the way these people operate is sick. It's sickness from head to toe. And it's everywhere. Mr. Hilliker had that morning brief about it yesterday. It's in the Republican Party, too. There's no hope in man's system. You've got to look to God. You've got to get back to God's law. You've got to get to God's morality, right morality. Sorry to end on that note, but I am out of time. If you're not a subscriber to the Trumpet magazine, please request a free subscription to the magazine. If you want any of the literature that we've referenced on today's show, you can get that free, of course, at our website. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show, and we will see you again tomorrow.